You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
When I stop to think about it, it's almost impossible to calculate the number of hours that were spent in marching practice when I was in the high school band. Do any of you know what I'm talking about here? Or maybe some of you in the military know exactly what I was talking about. It was a great experience that I remember even to this day. It required a lot of diligent work, and it brought us together where we had this growing awareness that, as our director liked to remind us, the band was only as good as our weakest link. And there was also that reality that you had to work together. You had to be aware of what was going on around you. And let's face it, being aware of what's going on around you for a group of 15 to 18-year-olds is not an easy task. We're really not concerned about what's going on around us. We're concerned about us, and that's it. Well, as you might imagine, we spent hours in drills doing left face and right face and about face and attention and at ease. We even had these drill-down competitions to see who would be the last one standing as all these orders were given. And for us overachievers, we really took this stuff very, very seriously. Well, the drills were fine if you were standing in place, but what we also knew, it was all about the moving together as one group, as a unit, and it took lots of practice. Ranks and files had to be in order. You had to be in phase with the beater. It just looked like this sea of heads that were bobbing around all over the place. And of course, you had to be in step. Left strides, right strides, they all had to be in alignment. Because in a competition, if you were marked down for out of step, that was the worst penalty that the adjudicator could use on that marching score. Your ranks, your files, your diagonals might be a little bit out of alignment, even a little bit out of phase, but you never, never, never wanted to be out of step. Now, being out of step, that's an idea that's really a part of our American vernacular when you think about it. We know what it means to be out of step. When we're out of step, perhaps we think of people who we might call eccentric, or people who have somewhat of an iconoclastic kind of behavior. Maybe being out of step means it's someone that we just don't seem to fit into the norm. Now, there are those among us who pride themselves on being out of step. It's a badge of honor. And others yearn to be in step, but they just can't seem to figure it out. Ultimately, we know it has a lot to do with relationships and our sense of how we fit in. Most of us want to fit in. We want to be a part of something bigger, and we want to be included because it can feel very isolating and uncomfortable when we perceive that we are out of step. Well, I present this question to you today. Where do you fit into this whole scheme? Do you feel like you are in step, or do you feel like you are out of step? Is it intentional? Is it something maybe that's been forced on us? Now, I'm going to ask us to stop for a few moments and to think about that and how we've felt in these kinds of situations when we felt in or out of step. And I'm also going to invite us to do something that we loathe, that we don't always do. But I'm going to ask anyway. So for those of you that would like to, and this is not a have to, I'm going to invite you to, oh my gosh, turn to a neighbor and to talk. And to talk for just a moment about what it perhaps felt like to be out of step. Now again, this is not a have to, but for those of you that would like to, let's take some moments to either be in reflection or to talk to one of our neighbors about what it felt like to be out of step. Will you try that with me? That yearning to want to feel like we are part of the bigger picture, part of the norm. The interesting thing is that we all, whether we think about it that way or not, have committed ourselves to being a part of something that is intentionally out of step. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the one that we have chosen to follow, Jesus, was well aware of what it meant to be out of alignment with those who were around him. It was his identity, and it was a great source of consternation to those around him, whether they were his detractors or even his followers. The stories we heard this morning from Luke's gospel are perfect examples. We first had that story of this miraculous healing that took place, and then we had that second story of Jesus dining with Levi the tax collector, as well as inviting Levi to become one of his inner circle. Now, the gospel writer tells us that day a big crowd had gathered. I imagine they were in some kind of building or some kind of shelter, and it was just packed with religious leaders and teachers, and they were all there to hear Jesus. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is it doesn't appear that it was Jesus' overt teaching that day that created the intrigue that we read about. Instead, it was his actions. We have to remember, there was a buzz surrounding Jesus of who this teacher and who this healer was, and because he was coming to town, people wanted to see him, and they wanted to hear him. And that's what obviously prompted this group of people to bring their friend, this paralyzed man, to Jesus, because they were looking for Jesus to heal the man. And as we're told, the crowd was so large that day, there was no way they could get the man to Jesus, so they literally had to lower him through the roof, according to the gospel writer. Well, obviously, this got Jesus' attention. I think if the sanctuary ceiling opened up, it would get our attention today, right? They were expecting that Jesus would pronounce these words of healing. Instead, he led with the statement, "Your sins are forgiven." They're coming for healing, and here's Jesus, and he's got this reputation, and what does he say? "Your sins are forgiven." Well, on the surface, when we think about it, well, that's a nice thing to say, isn't it? That I'm offering you a word of forgiveness. But for many gathered there that day, as the gospel writer tells us, it was blasphemy. It was a heretical thing to say that I forgive you, because in their understanding, it was only God who could forgive. And we know that's when the murmuring started. They were happy, you see, to have Jesus heal people, but to have him forgive people, absolutely not. And you can tell that Jesus was frustrated by this situation, so he went ahead and healed the man, and everyone was in awe. When he did what they wanted him to do, the miraculous healing, all was fine. When he wandered off the expected path, instead to offer forgiveness, they were not happy campers that day. And it was after this incident that he met up with the tax collector named Levi. And as I think you probably remember, tax collectors were people that were considered traitors by the ancient Jewish community. They were Jewish, but they were doing the work of Rome, unfairly collecting payment. And their job was also one where the collector could extort money if they wanted for their own needs. So as you can imagine, these were not popular people then, and I guess really tax collectors aren't very popular people today either, are they? Well, Jesus asked Levi, of all the people he could have asked, he asked Levi to become one of his followers, to follow him. And we know that Levi responded affirmatively, and not only did he say yes, he held this big party, this big banquet to celebrate this new decision that he had made and this new direction that he had chosen for his life. Well, the leaders, hearing about all of this going on, they were not impressed, and they certainly were not pleased, because now what they were saying is that Jesus chose to spend his time with deplorable people. He chose to spend his time with tax collectors. He chose to spend his time with those who were suspect, those who were suspicious. If he was some great religious leader, why was he spending his time with these people? This was not okay. This ran against the grain. And it put Jesus in that out-of-step mode once again. Of course, that also seems to be, when we look at the bigger picture of the Gospels, the place where Jesus was most comfortable. He was most comfortable when he was challenging the status quo, when he was working in the face of authority, sometimes defying authority. He was most comfortable when he was teaching anyone who would listen that there was another, better way. And these incidents we read about in Luke's gospel today were perfect examples of his counterculture approach toward bringing his message to all who would listen. And in the process, he angered the mainstream, and he challenged authority, and he had the audacity to tell people, there is another choice. There is another path you can follow. Well, let's be real here today, friends. Trying to do what Jesus would do, trying to follow his path, it's not easy, is it? It takes courage. It took courage then. It takes courage today. It takes courage to be faithful and to follow Christ. And we're not Jesus. We know that. And that means that each day is perhaps even more of a challenge for us. Fortunately, he gave us a simple message. He told his followers, as we all know, love God, love neighbor. And believe it or not, as we read again and again and we hear again and again, it was those simple instructions of loving God and loving neighbor that put him at odds with the political and the religious leaders. We might understand why it was a challenging message to political leaders, but why? Why was this such a challenging message to religious people? I don't know about you, but that's something that it's sort of hard sometimes to get our arms around, to understand why the religious would not want to live into God's hope. You probably know where I'm going with this, don't you? It's no different today, friends. It is no different today. The Christian church wants to believe it is the norm, that it is mainstream, and in order to make that a reality, we have as an institution far too often opted for the easy path, the path which works overtime, trying to qualify what it means to love neighbor as self. We're not going to do it that way. That's icky. That's too uncomfortable. Let's just do it this way, right? It's a lot easier if we do it this way. Well, the question which is writ large in front of us is, do we have courage? Do we have courage to speak against the voices which do not believe we are called to love neighbor as self? And that everyone, yeah, that's the word Jesus would use, everyone is our neighbor. You see, Jesus was more than happy to walk out of step with the norm in order to live into God's greater purpose of hope for our world. Jesus, in fact, was happy to get in the face of people. I wonder what Jesus would have to say to our nation's leaders right now. Today. What do you think? Now, I know the next thing I'm going to say is going to sound weird. Maybe some of you will say, isn't that a little bit heretical? But I'm going to say it anyway. Our world no longer needs Christianity. Our world no longer needs Christianity if all that it represents is an institution that is content to keep quiet when there is injustice, when there is mean-spiritedness, and when actions speak of anything but love. If that's what Christianity has become, our world does not need it. What we desperately need, what we need today, are passionate followers of Jesus who believe in and create beloved community. We need desperately beloved community that welcomes all people, that not only cries out against the injustice we see, but also works to create a better world. Because you see, that's when we are truly church. That's when we're in tune to God's heart. And yes, friends, it is going to take courage And it is going to ask us to be out of step. Makes me feel a little uncomfortable. I don't know how it makes you feel. Because I keep saying to myself, where is this courage going to come from? Where do we find this courage to live into following Jesus and what it means? Well, I believe we find this courage when our priority is to seek God's heart and to sense where God dwells within our lives. I believe we start to find courage when we choose to see our world not through political rhetoric, but we choose to try to see our world through God's eyes. When we choose to see the way God might see, we realize that operating out of fear and weakness does nothing to build up the human family. When we choose to see the way that God might see, there are things much more important than the accumulation of wealth and power. When we choose to see the way God sees, we see sisters and brothers, not aliens, not illegals, not those people. Remember the text this morning? The first thing Jesus did? He offered forgiveness. He knew the first thing he needed to do was to get people to operate out of God's heart, out of God's love, and to find their centeredness in God. He knew and he understood that there was never going to be healing if we were more concerned about being in step with the status quo than being in step with God. So you see, I don't think it was accidental that he first offered this word of healing before forgiveness, because he said it's got to start with God. And that, I believe, friends, is the model for where we find our courage. Our courage for this day in which we live, it starts in our relationship with God. We live in a time when courageous people are needed more than ever. When we seek God, when we seek God's heart, when we try to live a life that views the world through God's eyes, when we seek to really understand God's love, that's where we find courage. That's how we can be courageous. What is God calling us to do in this time, in this place? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org. Or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.